Ultimate Hanukkah. And we left off talking about the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed by the Babylonians. It was destroyed a second time by the Romans. The Persians didn't have to destroy it because it was destroyed already by the Babylonians. But they didn't let the Jews build it. And of the four nations enslaved by Israel, there's only one from the beginning of the Golos until the end of the Golos. Beis HaMikdash was Oymid. Beis HaMikdash stood. And they didn't destroy it. And the reason for doing so is because the Hisnagdus of Yavin to Klal Yisrael is the Hisnagdus to the Havdalah ben Yisrael Amen. The Klal Yisrael stands for Havdalah. There's Klal Yisrael on one side and everyone else is on the other side. Klal Yisrael walks in two worlds. There's Yinei Sulamutz of Arza, Vereshim Magia Shemaima. That they walk in this world, but the head is in the other world. So they're different. Everyone else, all the Yavarim, their head's down here and their feet are down here. The whole Yavin is down here. There's not a single bit of Yavin up there. So the Yavarim, they were misnagged to this. Since they were misnagged to this, so then the whole concept of Tahara and Kedusha, that doesn't exist because Tahara and Kedusha are not in this world. You have two Kelim, one is Tameh and one is not Tameh. Could you tell the difference between the two? There's no Tameh meters, Tameh detectors that detects the Tameh radiation of the Tameh thing. It's not there. There's only one Nafkamina between whether it's Tameh or not, and that's in the world beyond this world. And this, you know, we talked about Machshavas being outside of this world. But Tumah is also outside of this world. There's no relevance to Tumah in this world. It's a cup. It holds water. It's Tameh. It's the same thing. It does not Tameh, it's the same. There's no difference. There's no Nafkamina. So what's the Nafkamina? Nafkamina is in the world that's above this world, there's a big Nafkamina between the cups. Very big Nafkamina. One cup is being Mekayim, it's Tachlis, and the other cup is not. One cup is worthy of being used in the Beis HaMikdash, and the other cup is not. It's a very big Nafkamina. So the Yevanim, not only did they not believe in this, their whole society was set up to eradicate this. There's no difference between one jug of oil or another jug of oil. There's no difference in the building. It's a building. So it doesn't matter if there's a sheep in there, if there's a pig in there. This business with the oil that they guarded the oil from becoming tamei. They broke the seals, they opened it up, they touched all the oils, all of them. Why? Because, you see any difference? It's the same. They're mamash misnagah to that. And the place, you know, the place that they're misnagah to the most was the Mikdash, because Mikdash is the bridge. You know, we live in two worlds. Where's the bridge? We need a bridge. Where's the bridge? The Mikdash is the bridge, and we talked about that the Mikdash was made out of physical materials that had spiritual properties. So it's the closest you can get to Ruchnius in this world. And inside were the Shiver Luchos, the broken Luchos, that was spiritual materials that has physical properties. It wasn't made in Sheish Hashemei Bereishis and put on this world. Hashem made the Luchos in Shemayim. Hashem wrote the Ksav on the Luchos in Shemayim. And Hashem handed those Luchos to Moshe Rabbeinu al Oretz, and Moshe was able to hold them. It was something you were able to touch, you were able to hold, you were able to see, you were able to sense. But it wasn't the same thing as things were created in Sheish Hashemei Bereishis. It was not created in Sheish Hashemei Bereishis. So you take the Shiver Luchos, which is spiritual, which has properties of the physical, put it in the Aron, which is physical and has the properties of spiritual, and that's the bridge. And on top you have the Kruvim. There's a male Kruv, there's a female Kruv. The male represents the giving of Shemayim, the female Kruv represents the receiving of Arts. So it's a Makam Chiba Shemayim Arts. The reason why when we do a mitzvah in our physical world out here, it has effect in Shemayim, is because of the bridge. We give tzedakah, that's a purely physical act. Take your hand, pick it up, put it in the pushka. It's a purely physical act. And then in Shemayim, there's an effect. The Gemara tells us that the Aser to Aser. Aser b'shrusha tisasher. That you take Maaser in this world, so that in Shemayim there's an effect, and it's proclaimed in Shemayim that you should be wealthy. And then that manifests itself ala art, so you make money, cash. You know, the Nevi Shachayim gives a muscle to this. So let's say you have like a cross beam. You know, like the kind that pole vaulters use. There was a couple that they were walking in the United Nations Olympic Village or something like that. The Olympic Village. And you see a guy take a pole, run, you know, as fast as he could, powerful strides, jam the pole into the ground, and fly over the thing. And the lady went over to him. She says, "Are you a pole vaulter?" He says, "Yes, I am, but how'd you know my name is Walter?" So you take one of those things, the crossbeam is very, very high up. It's so high up you can't even see it. You take a rope, very long rope, and you throw up the rope, and it goes all the way up over the crossbeam and it comes down on the ground, and you look up, you can't see it. It's so high up you can't see it. And what you see in front of you is two ropes. Two separate ropes. You see two ropes coming out of nowhere. So you go over to one of the ropes. You wonder, what is this thing here? And you give a shuckle with the rope. But you only shuckle one of the ropes. You don't shuckle the other rope. You give a shuckle to the rope. Maybe you think there's going to be a dinner bell or something like that, a gong, and you're going to go eat something. Or a genie's going to come. You shuckle the rope. And the rope, the reverberations, they go all the way up. And they go over the crossbeam, which you can't see. And they come all the way down, and then, like a couple of minutes later, all of a sudden, the other rope starts shuckling. Wow. The Kravel Lesher says, that's the kesha between Shnei Elamais. We have this world, and we have the world which you can't see, but there's a bridge, there's a kesha. And when we do something here, it has an effect over there, and then it comes back to us, depending on what we did here. And the Makom HaChibur, there has to be a rope. If somebody comes and snips the rope, or if it's not one rope, if it's two ropes, you shake one, the other one's not going to shake. There has to be a chibur. And that chibur is Yerushalayim. It starts with Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim, Mikdash, and the Kodesh Kodashim. And that's the Makom HaChibur. So Yerushalayim is Kodesh because it has the Kodesh Kodashim in it. Eretz Yisrael is Kodesh because it has the Kodesh Kodashim in it. It's a Makom HaChibur. The Mikdash was destroyed. The Kalim were taken away. But before the Mikdash was destroyed, the Aron was Nignas, was hidden. the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. But at the time of the destruction, it came into the Kodesh Kodashim to take out the Aron. It wasn't there. It was gone. The second Beis HaMikdash, they didn't even have an Aron. All the Avodah, like the sprinkling of the blood on Yom Kippur, was on the place where the Aron used to be. There was no Aron. So my Rebbe Reb Moshe Shapiro said, because the Aron is the connection between, you know, it's the connection between physical and non-physical. And if we don't have that connection, then the world has no point. There's no tachlis. There's no point. There's no purpose in having a world that doesn't have a connection to something higher than itself. So that connection always has to be there. If there's a Beis HaMikdash, so then that connection is open, it's revealed for everyone to see. There's a whole building built for it. There's a Veda and it's Kehanim, it's public, and everyone sees it. It's really, really beautiful. It's very nice. If the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed and the Aron went underground, so the connection is there, but no one sees it. So he said, that's the story of our lives. We have a connection to something higher than ourselves, but no one sees it. We don't see it, the connection's there. If the connection wouldn't be there, there'd be no point to the world. If there's no point to the world returns to Tayyav Avayah. So he said that whatever the Aron did when it was in the Beis HaMikdash, before the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, it's still doing now.
Why do we need an Aron?
In order for our Meisim to have meaning in a world beyond this world, there has to be a link.
Why, I have a neshama. Isn't that the link?
You're right. You know, you are right. You're right because you have a neshama, and neshama is connected to the body. And like the poet says, Yudah Levi, Belvavi Mishkan Evne. The pasuk, Vasa the Mishkan Mishkan to be safe. But you're missing something. Because the neshama is mechaber the guf, which is on this world, to the island which is on top of it. The Aron does more than that. It's mechaber the whole world. Mm-hmm. Hashem didn't create a world with only people in it. Hashem created a world with animals and bumblebees and flowers and gold. And gold and silver. And everything that Hashem made was made for its purpose to be revealed in some way. Everything has a hidden purpose. It's got to be revealed in some way. The purpose of the gold in the Beis HaMikdash was to glorify the connection that we have with God. Until that gold was put into the Beis HaMikdash, it was sitting there without a purpose. Sitting there chilling somewhere until they brought it out, polished it up, and put it into the Beis HaMikdash. So the connection between Shemayim and Ve'aretz is there in the person, but that's not the point. The person is the one that connects the whole world to something higher. Mm-hmm. So the connection's there in the person, in the heart of the Ben Adam, but he would never be, you know, if there wouldn't be Kruvim, you'd have someone that has some kind of connection to Shemayim, that he wouldn't be able to do anything. Clear? Good? Mm-hmm. He wouldn't be able to do anything. And in fact, like, once you mention it...
Does the person connect or he reveals?
Yes.
And before the Aron, how did that work?
There was a Mishkan. There was no connection.
So what was
the world didn't really have the right to exist before the Torah was given. So the Torah says, Yayim HaShishi VeYichilu HaShemayim VeOretz. On the sixth day, God finished Shemayim V'aretz. So the Gemara is Akasha. Why do you say Yom HaShishi? You say Yom Shishi. Yom Sheni, Yom Shlishi, Yom Rabi, Yom Chamishi. Yom Shishi! Be consistent. Why are you saying Yom HaShishi? So the Gemara answers, we're not talking about Friday. We're talking about the sixth day. We're talking about the day, the sixth day of the month of Sivan. We're talking about Shavuos. Yom HaShishi, on the sixth day of Shavuos, Vayichul HaShemayim V'aretz, that was the end of creation. I mean, from the time the world was created until the Jews left Egypt, in the Mekabel Torah, on the sixth day of Sivan, Hashem had not completed the world. There was no connection between Shemayim V'aretz. The only connection between Shemayim V'aretz were three people, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, others. But there was no connection to the whole world. There was no connection at a national level. There was no connection of a nation. There were yechidim, there were individuals, but they were connected. Do you know the Medrash about Avraham Avinu? The Medrash says there was somebody who was going in the forest, and he sees a bira, he sees a palace, it's a bira de lekas, and the palace is on fire. He says, if there's a palace, then someone built it. If there's someone that built it, there's someone that lives in it. If there's someone that lives in it, such a beautiful palace, I want to meet that, the one that built the palace. But there was no access to the palace. He walked around, and there was no access to the palace. He couldn't get in. If you can't get in, you can't find out who built it. You can't get in. Well, thank you very much. Hits it to the Balabira. The Balabira, the master of the castle. Thank you. The master of the castle, so from some hidden place, he must have had a closed-circuit camera or something. From a hidden place, he looked down on this traveler and he saw how much he wanted to know him. He saw how much he wanted to see him. And he had Rachmanis on him. And he opened up a passageway for him to go into the bira. It's a nice story. But what that tells us is until that moment, I mean, the traveler who discovered the beer is Avraham Avinu. Until that moment, Avraham Avinu looked at the world. The world is the palace. It's on fire because fire is constantly releasing potential. That's what fire does. What happens when all the potential of wood gets released? What happens to the fire? It goes out. And then you have to add new fire. I mean, not new fire, new potential, new wood. There's a mamash in Yana Diyam. Baal Plag Baimer. It's in Yana Diyam. So it's a palace. A palace has everything. It's majestic. It's royal. It shows the covenant. The palace reflects the greatness, the godliness of the king. And it's on fire because the world is just filled with potential. It's constantly releasing its potential, just like fire. And Avraham Avinu didn't believe the way all other people believed, that there's no master of the bira, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world and doesn't care about it. It doesn't make sense. If there's a bira, there has to be a bala bira, and the bala bira lives there, and the bala bira cares about it, and the bala bira he lives in the bira, and he runs the bira. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that he had such tsar. He opened up a passageway. What does it mean to open up a passageway? It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu connected the two worlds because of Avraham Avinu. So Hashem connected the two worlds. There's another Gemara that Avraham Avinu called the base, the Makom HaMikdash, he called it Ahar. Vayaris Ahar Merochek. Yitzchak called it a Sada. Vayitzi Yitzchak L'suach V'Sada. Yaakov called it a Bayis, Kim Beis Elokim. Because they were all doing the same thing. They were living in two worlds at the same time. And this house, this mountain, this world, is the mountain of God. What does it mean it's the mountain of God? That means that God's presence in this world is like a mountain. It's very difficult to live on a mountain for a prolonged period of time. It's hard. You're standing at an angle all the time. you're really going like this, and then you had to plant things, and you always have to run upstairs to get hot water or something like that. You know, it's hard. So you could be there, but it's not kavua. A field is level ground. It's more kavua, but the field doesn't have any protection from the elements. There's a barn there, a stable, there's a lean-to. But it's a field. The field is you work there during the day. At nighttime, you want to go home to your fireplace. And a house, that's kavua. Because this link between Shemayim and Aretz, there's shiurim, there's levels to the link. Avraham Avinu forged the link, Yitzchak developed it, and Yaakov Avinu completed it. And that completed when Yaakov Avinu was in the Makom HaMikdash. So the Makom HaMikdash is the place where the link takes place, because that's where the Avos discovered God. That God is everywhere, but God reveals himself in certain places more than others. And that's the place. Avraham Avinu figured that out. And Yitzchak followed. And Yaakov Avinu finished the job. And that's Yaakov Avinu gave birth to Klal Yisrael. And Klal Yisrael was a Mekabel Torah. So you see this concept. You know, so we ask, what you're asking, this is Mikey's question, is before Matan Torah, where was the link? It wasn't really there. It was there by Yechidim, individuals. Avraham Avinu was the Beis HaMikdash. But Yitzchak, it's Pashi, was the Beis HaMikdash. He was actually slaughtered on a Mizbeah. And Yaakov Avinu, the Chazal tell us, he was the ladder between Shemayim and Aretz. They weren't in the Beis HaMikdash, they were the Beis HaMikdash. They were the Beis HaMikdash. But that's Yechidim. And that's not enough. It's not enough. So Chazal say we daven on Shabbos, Pesukah Zimmer of Shabbos. We say Hayd L'Hashem Kita Kili Olam Chastai. We say Kili Olam Chastai. There's many verses, one following the other. We came to Tzareina Kili Olam Chastai. Hayd L'Kil Hashemayim Kili Olam Chastai. Masicha Melech Habayri Kili Olam Chastai. La'ig Melech Habasha. What are we doing over there? Just, you know, Dayenu, you know. It's like Dayenu. It's almost like Dayenu. Just put them all together, and at the end, just say Kili Olam Chasdai. And then you can make Kiddush 5 minutes earlier, which is very chashuv.
What?
If you count the amount of Kili Olam Chasdai you have there, you have 26. If you count the generations from the creation of the world until the Torah was given, you're going to get 26. Sneezer Kashman.
For what?
20 generations. Adam Arish until Noach was 10 generations. Noach was 10 generations. Avram to Moshe was 6 generations.
Six in the longest, though.
Hmm?
Six is in the longest, because
we have Yitzchak, Yaakov, Levi, Kos, Amram, Moshe.
But you go by Yocheved.
Yeah.
It's fine.
But it's two, because there's two Keshbarim, because she skipped a generation. Oh, Chato Adonai, Ahim, the Melech, and Moshe, Kodim. Go by the fathers. Because, Haid L'Hashem Kitab Kidalam Chastam, we say that Hashem's Chesed has no limit. It's La'ilam, and it covers the whole world. We say it 26 times because there's 26 generations that we really didn't deserve to be here. You know, once Hashem gave the Torah, and there's people that learn Torah, and there's people that fulfill Torah, so we can at least say that we're earning our own existence, for better or for worse. Or at least we're linked, right? We're doing something. Klal Yisrael, you know, if one Yid doesn't do all the mitzvahs, another Yid somewhere else will do those mitzvahs. That's the fichach here b'hem Torah mitzvahs. Klal Yisrael as a whole, you get all Klal Yisrael together as a whole, you got some good mitzvahs over there. But before the Torah was given, you did a mitzvah, it didn't mean anything.
How could Avram do it all by himself?
Big question.
He was the only connection. He was the first connection.
Yeah.
He was alone. It makes more sense. But Yitzchak, he at least had Avram and then
right.
He had Yitzchak.
Yeah, Avram Avinu was the greatest. That's the reason why we in Shemoneh Esrei we mentioned all three of them, but the bracha ends, Baruch Atah Hashem Magen Avram. He was the greatest. You know, Hutna Zuchar L'Vracha, he said that Avram Avinu, you have to know Yiddish to understand this, but I'm not going to say it in English. Avram Avinu was the Erste Gevarner. Yitzchak was the Erste Gebarner. And Yaakov was the Erste Verfallener. A Gebarner is the first self-made man. Gevarn. Gebarner is the first born Jew. So Avram is the Erste Gevarner. He's the first self-made man. Yitzchak was the first boy. He was the Erste Gebarner. And Yaakov was the Erste Verfallener, and he's the first one that fell and got back up. There's midrash about how Avram Avinu did it. There's a Yushami that Avram Avinu was, his parents hid him away for many years because Nimrod was going to kill him. And where's he going to get food? Where'd he get food from? The Medrash, the Malach came and fed Avram Avinu. But he was hidden away in a place for years with Malachim. He didn't have a normal upbringing.
Some would say.
Traumatize him to be thrown into the fire and walk out of it. Traumatic experience. Hoytel Hashem Kitam Kilam Chas. We say Kilam Chas 26 times in Shabbos davening because we're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for not returning the world to Tayyav Vavayah for 26 generations. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Zanas HaOilam B'Chazdai. But there's only one reason why Hashem did that, because it was a work in progress. Hashem had Rachmanis on the world because the world wasn't finished yet. But now, I'm saying now, that was before. Now, if the world wouldn't have any Tyra, no more Chesed. So before Avram Avinu. Before Avram Avinu, the generation before Avram Avinu. How much Torah was in the world? Not very much. But Kadosh Baruch Hu sustained the world because he's building the world. It's a work in progress. Kadosh Baruch Hu was building the world. So you have to give the world a chance, you know.
There was a yeshiva, no?
Hashem Be'Eber. Right. There's something about that yeshiva that didn't have a kiyum. The pasuk says about Avram, Laman Yitzav is based at Achrov. Avram Avinu, when he taught that the ones he taught should give over, and that the ones they teach it to should give over. So Avraham Avinu's Torah was like, was a continuum. And the Yeshiva Shem Ve'Ever, we don't know what they taught in the Yeshiva Shem Ve'Ever. But there's no real kiyum from it. There's no Messiah from the Yeshiva Shem Ve'Ever. And Avraham Avinu had Gerim, he was Megaya Gerim. There's no kiyum from Shem Ve'Ever.
But his Gerim didn't become Jews.
They became whatever he was. I mean, whatever he's
good.
Think
of Avraham
Avinu. They did Bris Mila. Who knows? Who knows?
We know how many people went into Egypt.
And who knows what happened because they... Who knows what happened because they passed that down through the generations? It comes out in later generations. If someone's Megayah 1,000 years later. It could be because it was passed down through from father to son, the emes of Avram Avinu.
But there was always someone, there was Mr. Shalach and kind of Noah.
Mr. Shalach was a tzaddik, Noah was a tzaddik, and the And the Medrash says about Noach, according to one man, the Yamar, that Ilo Haya B'Darish Al Avram, Lo Haya Nechshev Klum. I mean, Noach was not capable of setting into motion a process that's going to connect the world to Shemayim. If he would have been capable of doing it, he would have saved the people from the flood. He was able to save himself. He tried to save other people. He just wasn't Metzliach.
If Avram would have been Noah's place, he would have gotten other people on the table.
Not necessarily. That's what, you know, this is what you're talking about. I'm going to come and have a Chumashvat now, you know. That's not necessarily, because if Avram would have been in Noah's place, he wouldn't have been Avram. Because you can't be Avram in that generation. It was really hard. It was really hard. The wickedness was very strong. You had Rishayim that lived for 900 years. You can't, you know. You go tell them you do something evil, you're gonna die. They're gonna go, well, listen, you know, I'm around for 923 years. Now, there was a guy that passed by. He was driving through a country road, and he sees an old geezer on his porch in the rocking chair with a bottle of moonshine there and a musket, you know. And the guy looked. He never saw somebody so old in his life. He had no teeth. He had no hair. He was wrinkled. He was shriveled. His skin was like baked by the sun, and it just like rawhide skin. He pulled over. He says, wow. He said, you look like the oldest person I ever saw. What's your secret? So he said, he drinks like X amount of bottles of moonshine. He smokes, he inhales the most evil, foul cigars, you know, every single day. He spends his whole day doing that, you know, that's the secret. He says, wow, how old are you? He says, 32 years old. That's what kept the world going before the Ovis and before the Torah was given. It was Chesed. Kulei Chesed. The Chiburim is to the person. The Neshama is not in this world. The Neshama is not in this world. It relates to this world, but it's not in this world. The Guf is in this world, and totally in this world. And they're connected, so there's a chibur between the Shemayim v'Aretz. But that's not enough. The world also has to be mechubur. I mean, the Gemara Bava Basha talks about when they destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, the second Beis HaMikdash. So they were able to see into the Kodesh Kodashim, and they saw the Kruvim wrapped around each other. So they made fun of the Yidden. He says, oh, this is what the holiest thing is. This is what you do. It's like Gilead Arayis. You have a man and a woman embracing each other in the holiest of places. So the Rishayim ask Akasha, how could they have seen the crew from hugging each other? There were no crew. There was no urn. It was hidden in the first place of English. So the answer, that there was more than one set of crew. There was crew on top of the urn, and those weren't there. And then woven into the, you know, there was partitions and walls, you know, into the walls they had kruvim, in the walls. And those kruvim had the same properties as the kruvim on top of the iron, that they turned towards each other, turned away from each other, or they embraced each other. So they saw the kruvim on the walls. There was a third set of kruvim in the first place of Midrash, besides the kruvim on top of the iron, and the ones on the walls. There was the kruvim that were on the ground. That they stood on the ground. They had legs, or leg. There was a leg, they stood on the ground. And then they had wings. It was very similar, they looked the same as the kruvim on the arm, but they were on the ground. So the Kodesh Kodashim was actually more than one set of kruvim. Perhaps three. So I asked my Rebbe Ramesh about this. And I asked him, what's the pshat in the three sets of kruvim? What's the pshat in the three sets of kruvim? So I asked him, the pshat is, that there's three ways for a person to connect to the world above. There's three ways to connect. We can connect to the world above through the Torah, because we're learning Torah. Torah is not in this world. When we learn it, so we're making a connection between this world, where we're learning the Torah, and the Torah, which is in Shemayim. Another way of connecting to Kadosh Baruch Hu is through mitzvahs. Because the word mitzvah means you're only doing it because you're commanded. Who commanded you? God, who's in Shemayim. So when you're doing a mitzvah, you're automatically connecting yourself to the commander. Because if you don't believe in a commander, you wouldn't be doing the mitzvah. So you're taking your physical body and you're doing something based on what a command that emerged from a world beyond this world. So you connect the two worlds through mitzvahs or avodah. And then a third way to connect is in the Neflois HaBayir, just the wonders of creation. You know, without learning any Torah, without doing any mitzvahs, just look at the wonders of creation. And you say that there's no human being could have ever made this. So when you do that, you're also connecting. You say no human being could have ever made this, so who did make it? Someone that's not human. So Neflois HaBayir, just, you know, the... from creation itself, you know, breaking it down and delving into its secrets, you're connecting Shemayim V'aretz. So I said, that's the three sets of Kruvim. There's the Kruvim and the Aron, and the Aron has the Torah, so that's the Chibur of Shemayim V'aretz through Talmud Torah. There's the Kruvim in the walls of the Beis HaMikdash, so it's a Chibur to Kadosh Baruch Hu through Mitzvahs. Beis HaMikdash was a place of Avodah. It wasn't a place of Torah. Nobody learned in the Beis HaMikdash. So the actual walls had Kruvim because we're connecting to God through the mitzvahs. And the ones that were on the ground is connected to Kadosh Baruch Hu through the actual fabric of this world. So my Rebbe said that that's pshat.
Which one were they making fun of?
The ones in the walls.
There weren't the ones on the floor in the, in the second Beis HaMikdash?
Right. Right. Second Beis HaMikdash only had the ones in the wall. So they were destroying the Makom HaAvodah. That makes sense. They were destroying the Makom HaAvodah.
When the Benavia went in there, they were destroyed just from the Kedusha. Why didn't that have the same effect on the Yavanim?
Why weren't the Yavanim destroyed by the Kedusha?
Yeah, why didn't they... Why
the Yavanim are not an intrusion. You know, if somebody... if a Ben Yisrael who lives in the same reality as the Mikdash goes in there not prepared properly. They drank. I was just learning a Rambam today. The Rambam says that you can't go into the Beis HaMikdash with long hair. Overgrown hair. It's a tussle to go into Beis HaMikdash. You can't go in after you drank. You can't go in with long hair. You can't go in with your clothing. So he has a kasha from Shmuel, because Shmuel was a Levi, but he was in the Beis HaMikdash Kol Yemechayev, and he was also a Nazir Olam. So Shmuel, his hair was growing forever, and he went into the Beis HaMikdash. He lived in the Beis HaMikdash. How can he live in the Beis HaMikdash when his hair is overgrown?
All Nazirs, how can they go to the Beis HaMikdash to bring it together?
Well, they could go on the outside, maybe, you know. Go in. I don't know where they're going in. Where they're going in. Where they're going in. All right, give us the kasha. But I think that by another, another could be another, but here, if his hair grows for 30 days. Mm-hmm. So maybe it's not so bad, but another island is the hair's pretty long. So Meir Simcha, he brings a marker that I think he brings from Shmuel's grandson. He was also another, but he kept his hair very nice and pretty. So he brings from the Rambam that it's only us to go into the Beis HaMikdash with long hair if it's unkempt. But if it's kutzais of tatalim, if it's, you know, it's nice and rose, it's all very, you know, you take care of it. So you can go into the Beis HaMikdash. Rosh should go in. When a Yid goes into the Beis HaMikdash and he's not prepared, then the Beis HaMikdash vomits him out. What happens if a fox goes into the Beis HaMikdash? Does the basement, does he die? Does fire come out of the basement to kill the fox? What if a fox would have long hair, but it's not very nice? Would the fox die? You think the fox would die?
I would think if it went into the Kodesh Kedashim.
It's not in the, but it's not in, no, it's not in the Kodesh Kedashim. It's, you know, it's on a different plane. It's a purely, Chaim V'Loshner says that if a yid has an improper thought, if he allows an improper thought to intrude on his consciousness, he does more damage to the world than what Titus did when he brought a Zayna into the Beis Kachar Kedusha. A yid and the Beis Hamikdash are in the same existential plane. So when a yid is tameh and he goes into the Beis Hamikdash, he's bringing tameh into the Beis Hamikdash. If a yid is drunk and he goes into the Beis Hamikdash, he's bringing drink or drunkenness into the Beis Hamikdash. But someone that's not connected, when he goes into the Beis Hamikdash, does not affect it. So they don't die. The Rebbe says, you know, the Ashkacha al Yaina, from 1948 until the present, that there's a hisnagdus of Jews going across on the Temple Mount. You know, the Jew goes, the Arabs, they go wacko, they ride all over the place. He says, that's, you know, Tmei Shemayim, because the Jews that go there are Tmeim, and it's a Makom Kaddish, even without the Beis Hamikdash, it's a Makom Kaddish, and a Jew that's Tama goes there, so the Metame, this place in this world that's connected to Shemayim, and it's like the lifeline for the entire world. It's like somebody is a deep sea diver underneath an oxygen hose, and then you take some nitrogen and you inject it into the hose. And it's not healthy for the guy. A Jew going across to Makom HaMikdash, being Tameh, is being Metameh and being Mechal as HaKadosh, and that's the heart of the world. The heart, the life of the world comes through that Makom, so then he's contaminating the entire world. But if the Arabs are there, they don't contaminate the world. They're Shualim, they're foxes. Like Rabbi Kiva says, Shualim, Hilchubai. So it's better that the Arabs should be there, keep the Jews out, because then the world will be... The Arabs are safeguarding the life of the world. They don't realize they're doing it, but they're doing it. The guy goes in, and he's just going in physically. That doesn't mean anything. That's physical. No. So that's the chibur. Lag Barmer's coming. We have to say something about Lag Barmer. This question always comes up, that we have a veilus during Shvi'as Ayman because Rabbi Kiva's Talmidim died. But there's one day we have Simcha during Lag B'Ayman. It's on Lag B'Ayman because Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai died. So that's the shot. When Rabbi Kiva's Talmidim die, you sad, or when Rabbi Kiva's Talmidim die, you're happy? What's the steer? So Teretz is... The Mekivas Talmidim, the 24,000 Talmidim, they died. But Rav Shimon Bar Yochai didn't die. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai was Mechaber to two Olamos. The day of Lag B'Ayomer was the day of his death. And the day of his death, he was so much removed from this world. The day of a person's death is the day when they cross over to the other side. So he was able to bridge the two worlds, just like Avram. I mean, Lefi Madrigasai. As great as Rav Shimon was, he knew he wasn't as great as Avraham Avinu. And we have no musik in these things. But Bezer Anpin, you asked how Avraham Avinu did it. Rav Shimon Bechai did the same thing on his level. They lived in two worlds at the same time. His whole life was Shalaya Pidach HaTeva. He couldn't be saved with people that were working. I'm saying that's, you know, the people lived in this world and actually lived a physical existence. He couldn't be saved with it. On the day of his death, the day he had all his Talmidim, he was Megal, and Sisri Isaiah. So Shem Be'echai was the, you know, he was Mamish Beis HaMikdash. He was the Makom HaChibur. And then, you know, he, Be'ikar, you know, he, He exists in, you know, in Shemayim. I mean, his goof is still on Earth. Together, you know, he didn't die. He disappeared. He didn't die. The Bekivas Tamidim died. Rishim Be'yichai. His Iker existence is in Shemayim. Look at Bechen of Yankov Vino Leimes. So, you know, Lag Ba'im is mamish, it's mamish everything we're talking about. Lag Ba'im is a time of Chibur Elohus. It's being, you know, the Svar Makdash would say that if people had difficulty in understanding Sisra Torah the rest of the year, Lag Ba'im, the gates are open. You can understand things on Lag Ba'im that you can't understand the rest of the year. So Kalach Lefi Madrigasa, you know, if somebody could learn Kabbalah, learn Kabbalah. If you're not on the Madrigal, learn Kabbalah, which we're not. So you learn Machshava, Chassidus, or something. And things that were hard for you before will be easy. That's the Avodas Hayyim. You know, going up to the Kaver, if doing that is going to help you learn Sister Atera, you know, to understand things that are beyond this world, then go and do it. If it's not going to help you learn Sister Atera, then there's no, you know. In the times when they did it, they used to go up there and then they used to learn Sefer Isaiah through the night. And then after they finished learning what they learned, who knows what they learned? So they used to dance from pure simcha because they were zeichah to understand things you could only understand in Lag Ba'omer. And nowadays, everybody, you know, on a klaishul, the Atayra Yidin and everybody, it's just like, the people that are going there, they're not going there in order to understand Seder Satayra. So if you do go, that should, you know, that's why you go. That means you gotta learn something. Otherwise, what's the point?
The Gila Sister Torah on Lag Ba'omer, when does it start? After Shkia or after you daven the Omer?